For those of you that have not been to Gita Nagari, I know there's a few. Welcome, a warm welcome on behalf of Sri Sri Radha Damodar. And for those of you that have been here before, welcome back. These events in Gita Nagari are highlights of the year for many of us, myself included. Just the drive here, going through the mountains and the beautiful landscape and moo cows everywhere. It's very nice to be here in Gita Nagari. And the topic, Srimad Bhagavatam, the true refuge for Kali Yuga. That's the theme. Srimad Bhagavatam, but specifically, how it's our shelter. And I'm sure that many of the devotees attending this weekend's retreat will be increasingly inspired to take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam regularly. Some of you already are, some of you are occasionally not able to hear. Turn up your hearing aid, I don't know what to do. What do you want me to do? Speak like this? What should I do? Come sit closer. What's that? That's a novel idea. The plan for this retreat is somewhat different than previous. The mood and the structure are similar. It's smaller segments with more speakers, with one exception. Everyone who I asked to speak, just as part of our Sangha of devotees that can speak something about Srimad Bhagavatam. So you'll hear many different voices with shorter segments of time. But all focused on the beautiful Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, there were two persons that were reluctant. So, it's rather than in the past, it's been long stretches of just a few speakers. This is many, many voices, think of it like a concert or a chorus of voices singing the praises of Srimad Bhagavatam. So I'm going to start with some verses that are glorifying Srimad Bhagavatam, starting with Srimad Bhagavate Mahamunikute Kimba Paraya Ishwaraha. Then we can focus it better, too. You're trying. So let's say the verse together. This is the second verse of the first canto, Srimad Bhagavatam. Dharma projita kaita votra paramo nirmat saranam satam vedyam vastavam atravastu shivadam tapatrayon lodanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krite Kimba Paraya Ishvaraha Sadhya Vritya Avarujya Tetra Prithivi Shushubi Stachanat. I'll read the translation. Completely rejecting all religious activities which are materially motivated, this Bhagavat Purana propounds the highest truth, which is understandable by those devotees who are fully pure in heart. The highest truth is reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. Such truth uproots the threefold miseries. This beautiful Bhagavatam, compiled by the great sage Vyasadeva in his maturity, is sufficient in itself for God realization. What is the need of any other scripture? As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of Bhagavatam, by this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is established within his heart. So, speak a few things on this particular verse, and there's a number of other verses that are expressing. Children, could you move just away a little bit? Thank you. The first line and the third line are specially quoted. Dharma projita kaitavotra paramo nirmatsaranam satam. Especially Dharma projita kaitavotra. The Srimad Bhagavatam kicks out, rejects. Projita. Kaitava Dharma, cheating religion. That's a contradiction of terms. Cheating religion. Religion doesn't cheat. But those principles that are materially based or materially motivated, they cheat or they rob, they steal from the soul his ultimate purpose, the mission of human life. Is taken from him by following that kind of dharma which is materially motivated. So this Bhagavatam, the proclamation is that it rejects. This Bhagavatam will not even speak about such topics. So, my dear reader, if you're interested in material advancement of higher attainments to the heavenly planets and the regions of the demigods, boop, 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 don't read any further. Just close this book and find another one, because this one isn't going to speak about that. Mm-mm. It's only going to speak about the absolute truth, the highest truth. And what is that highest truth? Reality distinguished from illusion. For the welfare of all. So, the absolute truth, it was also discussed in the first verse of that from which everything comes. And the realm of heaven is not that from which everything comes. That is also created, which means it is also destroyed. And those who go there will also take birth and also die. But those who attain the transcendental absolute truth, as propounded by the Srimad Bhagavatam, will not enter into that cycle of birth and death again. And tapa trayon mulanam. Tapa trayon mulanam. The miserable threefold conditions of life. I'm going to read briefly from Srila Prabhupada's purport. Just one paragraph. Development of transcendental consciousness grounded in the conception of simultaneously one and different leads one immediately to the stage of freedom from the threefold miseries. The threefold miseries are: one, those miseries which arise from the mind and body. We're very familiar with those. Two, those miseries inflicted by other living beings. We know that one too. And three, those miseries arising from natural catastrophes over which one has no control. like the storm that's supposed to come tonight and knock out electricity, won't have any electricity tomorrow morning. Or worse. Srimad Bhagavatam begins with the surrender of the devotee unto the absolute person. The devotee is fully aware that he is one with the absolute and at the same time in the eternal position of servant to the absolute. In the material conception, one falsely thinks himself the lord of all he surveys, and therefore he is always troubled by the threefold miseries of life. But as soon as one comes to know his real position as transcendental servant, he at once becomes free from all miseries. I guess we haven't learned that one yet. As long as the living entity is trying to master material nature, there is no possibility of his becoming servant of the Supreme. Service to the Lord is rendered in pure consciousness of one's spiritual identity. By service, one is immediately freed from all material encumbrances. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I'm going to make little references to his commentary. I brought a few copies of this with me from India, so they'll be on display later. Persons that want, brought some copies. Bhagavat Arka Marichimala by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's one of the last books he wrote in his life. And it's topical on the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. They're chapters. And the second chapter, it's called the second ray, he refers to this same verse. And he's describing as follows. This Srimad Bhagavatam imparts knowledge of the living entity's relationship with the Supreme Lord, which is auspicious and destroys the threefold material miseries, Kleshagni and Shubhada, in the language of Rupa Goswami. Absorption in matter, consisting of the three modes of material nature, results in threefold material miseries. And he makes the list a little different. Listen carefully. Forgetfulness of one's real identity is the first material misery. Aversion to Krishna is the second material misery. Consider the body as the self is the third material misery. You want to hear them again? Forgetfulness of one's real identity. It's like a sandwich. Avaranatmika Shakti and Prapekshatmika Shakti, described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, is the Lord's throwing potency and covering potency. So he forgets who he is and he misidentifies with something he's not. And in between, the sandwich is aversion to Krishna. Because that's giving, it's propelling both. Dvesha. Raga, dvesha. Samutena. Knowledge of the Absolute means to understand that Lord Krishna is one without a second. Absolute knowledge of relationship is to know that the Lord Krishna possesses his threefold energies, internal, external, marginal, and the living entity is marginal, and we belong in that marginal position serving him. Just by awakening one's service attitude, one can bind Krishna within his heart with the rope of love without waiting for another lifetime or process. Therefore, what is the need of any literature other than Srimad Bhagavatam? So that's this other line, Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krite. Mahamuni, Vyas, is Mahamuni Krite. He wrote Srimad Bhagavatam, or compiled. It's Kim va paraya ishvara, it's sufficient for God realization. So, why? Who needs anything else? Here's how Prabhupada describes this. The proper method for receiving the transcendental message is to hear it submissively. Shru-shru-shubhis. One must be anxious to hear this transcendental message. The desire to sincerely hear it is the first qualification. Those who are fit to assimilate this work are mentioned in the sloka. This is Prabhupada's paraphrasing. One becomes qualified to hear Srimad Bhagavatam after many pious deeds. Sadya hridi avarujitetra krittabhi shushu shubhis tatkshanat. After many pious activities. So by the unknowing, it's just like our book distributors. So many people say no. And some people say yes. And those that say yes are very fortunate, according to this indication. Those that are, like some people buy Bhagavad Gita and don't read it for like a decade or two decades. And then somehow they read Bhagavad Gita and their life changes. It happens. We've all heard stories or know people that are in that circumstance of life. So it's by good fortune that one comes in contact with the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. And one who hears it with attention, it's further great fortune. One becomes qualified to hear Srimad Bhagavatam after many pious deeds, quote unquote, paraphrasing this sloka. The intelligent person, with thoughtful discretion, can be assured by the great sage Vyasadeva that he can realize the Supreme Personality Godhead by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Without undergoing the different stages of realization set forth in Vedas, one can be lifted immediately to the position of Paramahamsa simply by agreeing to receive this message. So, how wonderful is this Srimad Bhagavatam. I'm going to go forward, and there's some verses where other parts of the Vedic literature describe how wonderful Srimad Bhagavatam is. Here's a verse from the Garuda Purana, very famous one. This Srimad Bhagavatam is the most perfect Purana. It is the natural commentary on Vedanta Sutra. It establishes the meaning of the Mahabharata. It is a commentary on Gayatri. It explains and expands the meaning of the Vedas. It is the Sama Veda of the Puranas. And it was spoken by the Supreme Lord Himself. It has 12 cantos, hundreds of chapters, and 18,000 verses. So in case there's some doubt about which literature is this, there are some very specific how many verses, how many cantos, and our acharyas have taken, which I'm not going to do right now because this is just the introductory evening presentation, the Vedanta Sutra, just like the Bhagavatam begins, Janmad Yasya Yataha, and then explains it. So that's the first verse of Vedanta Sutra, and Bhagavatam is the commentary on that verse, and the whole of Vedanta Sutra. It explains the meaning of Mahabharata. Mahabharata has as its central most portion, aside from the history and the virtue, the struggle between good and evil, the central portion is the transcendental portion, Bhagavad Gita. And expanding upon the meaning of Bhagavad Gita is Srimad Bhagavatam. is a commentary on Gayatri that's in the Satyam Param Dhimahi. We're going to discuss that tomorrow morning. It's commentary. Jiva Goswami goes into detail in explaining how it is, which portions of, specifically even the first verse, is explaining Gayatri. Bhagavatam explains Gayatri. Those who know what Gayatri Mantra is, what's its meaning? How are you to understand its meaning? Read Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll understand its meaning. It expands the meaning of the Vedas. It's the Sama Veda of the Puranas. Or here's a statement from Skanda Purana. In Kali Yuga, what is the value of collecting hundreds of thousands of other scriptures if one does not keep Srimad Bhagavatam at home? It's not Bhagavatam saying it, it's Skanda Purana saying it. How can a person be considered a Vaishnava in Kali Yuga if Srimad Bhagavatam finds no place in his house? Even if he is a learned Brahmana, such a person should be considered lower than a dog eater. We didn't say it, Skanda Purana said it. Oh, learned Brahmana, Narada, whatever Srimad Bhagavatam, wherever Srimad Bhagavatam is present in Kali Yuga, there the Supreme Lord goes, along with the demigods. Here's another from Matsya Purana, almost identical, very similar verses are found in Skanda Purana, Agni Purana, and Srimad Bhagavatam. Again, that Purana is known as Srimad Bhagavatam, which explains the topmost principles of religion with reference to the Gayatri Mantra, and which tells of the killing of the demon Vritta. This Purana has 18,000 verses. In case one was not clear, there's only one of the Puranas that describes the Vritrasura pastime. That's Bhagavat Purana. And there's a detail discussed by Jiva Goswami and Baladev Vidyabhusan. Devi Purana also makes reference to the Vritrasura story. So some persons say that Devi Bhagavat, that's the one that these verses are describing. But it doesn't have 18,000 verses, and it doesn't make reference to the Gayatri Mantra, etc. Whoever writes out a copy of Srimad Bhagavatam, places it on a golden lion throne, and presents it to someone on the full moon day of the month of Bhadra, will attain the supreme goal. So if you want to go back to Godhead, you know how to do it. Handwrite the Srimad Bhagavatam. Place it on a golden lion throne, Singhasana, and gift it to somebody on the full moon night. The Padma Purana speaks of the Bhagavatam also as being the body of the personality of Godhead. The Bhagavatam's first and second cantos are Krishna's feet. Third and fourth canto are his thighs. Fifth canto is his navel. Sixth canto is his chest. Seventh and eighth are his arms. Ninth is his throat. Tenth is his blossoming lotus face. The 11th is his forehead, and the 12th his head. So meditating on Srimad Bhagavatam is meditating on the form, the literary form of the personality of Godhead. So similarly, Srila Prabhupada said, in these first two cantos, you have the two lotus feet of the personality of Godhead. And if you become conversant in the subject matter, even the first canto, means you've taken shelter of the Lord's lotus feet. You take shelter of the Lord's lotus feet, sufficient to go back to Godhead. Everything you need to know to go back to Godhead is within these first two cantos, or the first canto, Srila Prabhupada said. Here's another very famous description. Dhanakeli Mataji is going to expand on this one. This Bhagavad Purana is as brilliant as the sun, and it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by religion, knowledge, etc. Persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance in the age of Kali shall get light from this Purana. Puranarko, the light of this Purana. This statement is spoken by Suta Goswami. It's an answer to one of the six questions asked by the sages of Naimisharanya. The last of their six questions was, now that Krishna has left, where have religious principles taken shelter? Because when Krishna was present on earth, simply by the touch of his lotus feet on earth, everything auspicious was created, and the earth was supplying abundant necessities of life. And wherever he was, auspiciousness flourished, and inauspiciousness was driven away, just like the light drives away darkness. But the sun of Krishna has set on the western horizon, and now it's the night of Kali Yuga. So after Krishna has departed, where's their light? Where's their protection or shelter of religious principle? The sages wanted to know, and Sutta is saying, Krishna's appearance is as brilliant as the sun, but as cooling as the moon. Just by reading Srimad Bhagavatam, all auspiciousness, all the fruit of all religious principle is established within one's heart, as the first verse that we discussed presented. So here's another verse from the same chapter, in fact the next verse from this 12th canto. Just as the Ganga is the greatest of all rivers, Lord Achyuta, the supreme among the deities, and Lord Shambhu, the greatest of Vaishnavas, so Srimad Bhagavatam is the greatest of all Puranas. We're familiar with Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu, that's where it comes from, this verse. But the Srimad Bhagavatam is in that position. Puranam, Purananam idam tata. Bhagavatam is also the greatest amongst all the Puranas. Srimad Bhagavatam is declared to be the essence of all Vedanta philosophy. One who has felt satisfaction from its nectarian mellow will never be attracted to any other literature. Some scholars have reviewed Prabhupada's Bhagavatam, and their appreciation of Bhagavatam is similar. This is a work to be treasured. No one of whatever faith or philosophical persuasion who reads these books with an open mind can fail to be both moved and impressed. Oxford University professor and Columbia University professor. It has been my great pleasure recently to have read the Srimad Bhagavatam in the superb edition authorized by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. I am sure this monumental work will go far to bring the sublime message of the Bhagavatam to numerous Westerners who otherwise would miss this opportunity. Boston University professor. The Srimad Bhagavatam is extremely useful for all those interested in ancient India, whether their interest be that of the philosopher, the student of religion, the historian, the linguist, the sociologist, or the political scientist. I truly hope that Srila Prabhupada will complete his translation of the entire Bhagavata and continue to translate other eminent Sanskrit works as well. Undoubtedly, This work of Swamiji's is a great contribution to the troubled human society of today's world. Something that just happened in relation to this quote by the Boston University professor. It's been 12 years in the making, but the Chinese government, which is like heavy duty and kind of atheistic, has just signed a contract with the BBT to publish in Chinese. It's a government agent publisher. Is going to publish the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. They will publish it. That's big. Because there's a few Chinese people over there. And something just further happened, aside from this monumental event. I can say this from a little experience from visiting in China. The Chinese government is very careful. They're like, you know, they want to control. They don't want to lose control. But they see, they've read. They're going to print it. They're not going to change one word of Prabhupada's writings. That's big. So they've checked it out. They've checked out our organization that's behind the BBT. They're not slow people. They know what's going on. And they're happy that to be publishers of this. One thing, it'll keep other people from publishing it, and they've got some control. They're smart. But recently, since this is like several months ago, recently, the government, I think cultural division of the government, they want Sanskrit literature to be known in China. They value it. There's been, that's big too, because between China and India, there's been tension. Without going into it, there's been tension and, you know, big. But they're saying they don't want other than the native Sanskrit scholars in India to do the translation work. So, the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust editions of the translation of Ishopanishad and other Vedic literature will make its way into the Chinese government's authorized publications. We don't even have to like run the printing press or pay the bill. They'll do it. And we have authorized channels to see that it gets distributed. With the government's eyes watching, but that's fine. The topics of Srimad Bhagavatam range from describing Krishna's pastimes, the forms of the Lord that the devotees in trance see, the form of the Lord within the heart. The whole of Srimad Bhagavatam, as Prabhupada planned it, it shows here, it's in the previous format of 60 volumes when it's totally published, and as you see behind me, Bhagavatam has been reformatted so that it looks more like this. And each of the, as you all know, that scholars particularly appreciate it because the original Sanskrit is here, the Devanagari word-for-word translation, and the commentaries of our acharyas that help us understand the meaning with full index, index of the verses, index of the terms, glossary, pronunciation guide, and vast body of knowledge. This is taken from a Bhakti Gothic magazine outlining Krishna's family tree. And it's all taken from the Srimad Bhagavatam, describing all of these personalities. So this just lays it out in a chart form, but all that understanding is there. Several chapters presenting this allegory. This is an article by Dhritakarma, where he's describing the Paranjana story, but in the form of a story that makes it very clear what the position of the living entity is, and the life air of the living entity, and the material intelligence of the living entity, and the gates through which knowledge will come. Fantastic presentation. And the whole of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Bhaktivinoda Thakur was present, there weren't printing presses. It was just beginning. And he was in his mid-30s before he had access to a set of Srimad Bhagavatams. He heard through a friend that someone else had a copy. So he went to that, he went to that friend, and the friend gave him a copy. He gave him a copy. And he read it through cover to cover, and he read it through again cover to cover. And within a year he was writing articles about Srimad Bhagavatam. We have it so easy by Srila Prabhupada's mercy. You just go to the internet and click, 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 and they send it to your home. You pay the bill, but you couldn't get it before. And volumes of other transcendental literature. The ingenious Lord condensed the Vedas and then divided it into four. Therefore he became known as Veda Vyas. He also summarized the Puranas in 400,000 verses. But in the heavenly planets, they still comprise 1 billion verses. You have to have a big bookshelf in the heavenly planets, or a good memory. Just memorize it. The Vedic literature is very, very vast. But the Srimad Bhagavatam is the cream of it. There's another professor describing the Bhagavatam and Prabhupada's work. It is axiomatic that no book can be expected entirely to satisfy all its potential readers. Here is one, however, which can be said to come remarkably close to that ideal. We have here the ideal of what an edition of a Sanskrit text for a Western audience should be. Whoa. From a professor. And by the way, professors normally don't compliment other scholars. In case you haven't noticed. They do the opposite. So how did the Srimad Bhagavatam appear? It was imparted tene hrida ya adikavaye. It was presented within the heart of Lord Brahma, who passed it on to Narada. And Narada in turn imparted the knowledge to Vyas. And recognizing that that was the age of Kali, Vyas took to the task of writing it down. And upon inspiration from writing the Vedas, Narada again instructed Vyas that you should write one literature that's exclusively describing the personality of Godhead. And so Vyas took to the task of compiling Srimad Bhagavatam. The Vedas are coming down in this descending way, and the Srimad Bhagavatam has its very, very special position amongst all the Vedic literatures. Srimad Bhagavatam of Krishna, Dvaipayana Vyas. And then he in turn instructed it to Shukadeva Goswami, who taught it to Maharaj Parikshit. And in the audience was Suta Goswami, who instructed the sages of Naimisharanya. In this way, the knowledge is passed on. And going forward in time to our present time, Bhaktivinoda Thakur received Srimad Bhagavatam, who taught it to his son and had him print the literature. And Bhaktisiddhanta in turn instructed Srila Prabhupada and told him that he should print books if he ever had funds. So following Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's instruction, Prabhupada began the project of printing, starting with Bhakti Godhead magazine. But the printer was advising him, instead of printing magazines, why don't you print hardcover books? That will be much more substantial. And with the indication of the printer, Prabhupada became inspired and began the work of translating Srimad Bhagavatam. This is, you know, carried by the Scindia steamship company. This is the first canto, but already Prabhupada has the plan, 60 volumes of elaborate English verses. He had it all planned out. 60 volumes, so many pages, so many paintings per book. And in the Radha Damodar temple, in his quarters, Prabhupada did this work, inspired by Rupa Goswami, as he looked out the window of his room, receiving directly from Rupa Goswami the inspiration to cross the ocean and take this message. Here's Prabhupada giving a copy of Srimad Bhagavatam to, who is this?
Lambert.
Yeah. So, here's Prabhupada in Butler, Pennsylvania, again with a copy of his Srimad Bhagavatam, giving a lecture to the public. And in the wee hours of the night, Prabhupada, while we were horizontal, Prabhupada was translating Srimad Bhagavatam for the world. And when the publications came out, those that had association with Prabhupada know this, that it was some of the most delightful moments. Prabhupada was two things, hearing book distribution scores and receiving books that were recently published. Prabhupada would scrutinize the quality of the text, the printing, the binding, because he knew all about printing, color plates, how well they came out, and with great joy, he was appreciating the fulfillment of the desire of our disciplic succession and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that this message of Lord Chaitanya, based upon the Srimad Bhagavatam, would reach the entire world. And so after translating, after presenting in English, then seeing that the books were translated into other languages, and volumes printed, and volumes distributed, Prabhupada encouraged us like anything in this way. So here's one very famous verse, along the same, the 12th canto verses. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless Purana. It is most dear to the Vaishnavas because it describes the pure and supreme knowledge of the Paramahamsas. This Bhagavatam reveals the means for becoming free from all material work, together with the processes of transcendental knowledge, renunciation, and devotion. Anyone who seriously tries to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, who properly hears and chants it with devotion, becomes completely liberated. Amala Purana, indicating that the other Puranas, they're particularly written by Vyasadeva for those that are influenced by the modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. So there's 18 principal Puranas, and of those 18, 6 and 6 and 6, divisions of 3. And this, amongst those in the quality of goodness, the Srimad Bhagavatam is superlative, because it is amala, it's shuddha sattva. At the same time, it's of that highest quality, literature for the Paramahamsas. Srimad Bhagavatam is simultaneously for the victims of Kali Yuga, the sinful persons of this age, specifically to serve as an antidote or medicine for eradicating the implication of sinful persons and the sinful reactions of their material lives. It's the topmost literature, and it's the most merciful literature, and everybody else in between. While it's giving information or descriptions of the personality of Godhead, it's presented in such a accessible and attractive way that all types of people can derive the topmost benefit, however gradually it may be, for them to understand. If there's proper hearing with eagerness to receive the message, then the purification is, as it's described, it's guaranteed with the product. By the author himself, by Vyasadeva. If one takes this message of Srimad Bhagavatam very seriously, hears it attentively, reads it, chants it, meditates upon it, Shrinvanti Gayanti Grananti Sadhavaha, assimilates it within, it will carry one beyond this dark age of Kali into the spiritual world. Krishna becomes situated within one's heart, one's relationship with Krishna becomes revealed. It's superlative literature. And so our focus during this retreat is upon this wonderful creation, Srimad Bhagavatam, along with the Bhaktivedanta purports that give us access to the deep understanding that the Bhagavatam is offering. I imagine that some of these verses are verses that you'll either see or hear again, because some of the devotees will be chanting some verses glorifying the Bhagavatam, so some of them may very well be those very verses. Some of the devotees will be speaking more deeply on some of these particular verses that you saw. This was intended just like a broad overview of why this Srimad Bhagavatam is so important to us. Our process is the Bhagavat Marg. And the Bhagavat Marg is primarily hearing and chanting, Shravanam Kirtanam. And our chanting of the holy name is enriched very nicely by chanting of the message of the Bhagavatam, because everything is there within the holy name, within Krishna's holy name, everything is present. The Bhagavatam is here. But we may not have the qualification to access the whole of the Bhagavatam just from chanting Krishna's holy name. If we can read Srimad Bhagavatam side by side with chanting of the holy name, that purification that comes from chanting, then going to hear the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, it illumines the heart. One process of hearing and chanting the Bhagavatam helps one to hear and chant the holy name, and vice versa. So they go very well together. Prabhupada gave this metaphor, nice metaphor. A train moves on two tracks. Now they have monorails, so it doesn't work. But train moves on two tracks. And if you have only one track, then the train doesn't go very far. So similarly, spiritual life moves with two parallel means. One is something that will cleanse the heart, make the heart pure. And the other is something that gives direction. So if one's heart is pure, but one doesn't have proper direction, one can have a strong sentiment, but sentiment can become misguided. And sentiment can become fanaticism. Misguided sentiment can become fanaticism. And that's a problem we find in this world. There's fanaticism that's misguided. But supposing you have just the other. You have standard knowledge, but the heart's not pure. You know what to do, but the heart's not pure enough to do it. So that's inadequate also. So these two together, the teachings that explain to us how to guide the activities of our lives to the pages of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and transcendental literature, side by side with the chanting of the holy name. These are the two tracks. They help us go very swiftly, very nicely to the goal. And the goal is very clearly defined in the Srimad Bhagavatam. No messing around. The Srimad Bhagavatam is declaring very clearly the absolute truth, the personality of God, it is the supreme goal. Practically speaking, most of us, if not all of us in the room, had some form of spiritual, religious discipline in the course of our lives, childhood or somewhere along the way, that gave some light. I was just discussing this the other evening with one family. So they're very appreciative of that help that they received, and we should be. But how to make a proper comparison? It's like a candle at night and the sun during the day. At night, when there's complete darkness, maybe when the electricity goes out, unless you have a flashlight, you won't be able to see anything. So a little flashlight, you can see something. Or a little candle, you can see something. You can distinguish, you know, where's the door and whatever you have to move around, where the other people are in the room that you're staying. So you can distinguish one thing from another thing. But to fully understand the goal of life, the personality of Godhead in His personal feature, and all the detail, in understanding how this material world has the unseen hand of the Lord, which you can see through the knowledge of Scripture. We'll be discussing some of this. So many nice things. It's so special, this Srimad Bhagavatam. So special. And those who have had the experience of studying Srimad Bhagavatam regularly, I'll probably say this several times, but it changes your whole life. Oops. It changes your whole life by, you see things differently, you experience things differently, you feel things differently. The illusion, it's mystical. The illusory energy doesn't act the same way. And Krishna's internal potency starts to act through how you experience everything, life. Just from becoming absorbed in Srimad Bhagavatam, nicely. Hearing very carefully the Bhaktivedanta purports, meditating upon the meaning, taking the inspiration, applying it in your life, going back and reading it again, becoming again inspired, just carries you into the out of the material and into the spiritual realm. It's very powerful. So we'll be spending the whole weekend together in one another's association, hearing different speakers and their appreciations and different angles of vision on appreciating Srimad Bhagavatam. And as I said before, I suspect that at the end, many of us, myself included, will take the careful study of Srimad Bhagavatam even more seriously. And that'll be a wonderful outcome. The whole Sangha of devotees just like taking off, heading towards the spiritual world. Just keep it up. Sustain that attraction for the shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam. So any discussion or... Yes?
We heard that the Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless Purana.
Yeah.
Which implies that the other Puranas
have spots.
And we heard that the scripture completely rejects cheating religion, materially motivated religion, which implies that other scriptures contain materially motivated or cheating religion. So my question is, what's the proper attitude or vision one should have towards other scriptures? Because we hear it before the best of the holy names, you know, blessing the baby literature, virtues, and saints of the baby. So,
is that a trick question, Don?
Yeah.
Would you like to answer your own question? When we're reading, in the pastime with Lord Chaitanya of Sanatana Goswami giving up his aristocratic position as the prime minister in the government of Nawab Hussein Shah. He was an elevated Vaishnav, and he really didn't at all have interest in all this government stuff. Many people are very interested in that government stuff, and the power and the influence and the position and the honor and the wealth and all that stuff. He had no interest. He took the opportunity by cleverness to get out. And as he was leaving, he was hiding because the Nawab could have pursued him and done something bad to him. So he was disguising himself as a Muslim, just letting his beard grow. And so in the course of his travels, he passed through a village where a relative lived, and his relative gave him a nice chadar. When he came before Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya had his servant give him a clean shave, and he was still wearing his nice chadar. And Lord Chaitanya didn't say anything, but he was looking at his nice chadar, like, you're living like a mendicant, but you got this nice, opulent, new, rich-looking chadar. He didn't say anything. It was just so Sanatana Goswami, being a minister, he could understand. So what Lord Chaitanya's mood was. And so when he went to take bath in the river, he saw a mendicant with a chadar or a wrapper that was old, tattered, and, you know, patched. And he offered his new, nice woolen chadar in exchange. And the man said, why are you teasing me like this? This isn't nice. You're a Brahmin. Not good. He said, no, I'm not teasing. You take this one, I'll take yours. So when he came back, Lord Chaitanya was very pleased, saying that a physician, when he is curing some disease, he doesn't just get rid of the gross symptoms of the disease. He wants to cure the disease so that there's no more disease. It won't come again. That's the excellent physician. Similarly, you're taking the position of a mendicant, then do it in such a way that you're properly living that way. So with these other Vedic literatures, they're there for persons who are unwilling, because they're in this material world, they're unwilling to surrender to the personality of Godhead. They need something to help support them or lift them or bring them to a elevated position, which they're unwilling to do. If you sit right there, you're right in the way of the projector. Come on over here. So how we should see the other portions of the Vedic literature is they're there to help persons come gradually, because they're unwilling to go directly, so they go indirectly and gradually to the position of goodness and the shelter of the personality of God at Narayan, although maybe indirectly, because they may not be thinking, I'm taking shelter of Lord Narayan, but the Vedas come from Lord Narayan. So they're taking shelter of Lord Narayan, indirectly. How we should think of the other portions of the Vedic literature is that's what they're doing. They're helping persons who are unprepared to sarvadharmam vrityaja mamekam sharanam. They're not prepared to do that. So So they're giving them, the Vedas are giving them something that can bring them gradually to that position, ideally. That's the goal. Vedaishta Sayurvayar. Ahameva Vedyo. The Vedas are meant for that purpose. Gradually bringing one to the position of understanding Krishna. So the Bhagavatam is like Lord Chaitanya taking Sanatana Goswami's attempt to be a mentor, to be a renounced person, and taking it all the way. Taking the person who has some attraction for the personality of Godhead all the way. The disease completely gone. The disease meaning the affinity for matter. The affinity for matter comes from our desire to be in the position of the personality of Godhead, the position of the enjoyer. That's his position. So that's the disease. And the Bhagavatam wants to eradicate that disease completely. Some persons aren't ready for that. That's how we view the other portions of the Vedic literature. Exactly, in fact, as Narada spoke to Vyas when he was critiquing his work on compiling the Vedas. He told him, you get an A. You've done, there's no fault in what you've done. But you've inordinately given emphasis to how licensed enjoyment can take place without sufficiently describing the personality of Godhead. So Srimad Bhagavatam in comparison is describing exclusively the personality of Godhead without the affinity for matter portion being encouraged or supported, or how, here's how you can do it religiously. Anything else? Yes?
Well, I have heard many times that we have to study human parts carefully and it purifies our heart. So I've been trying to carefully study Bhagavatam for many years now, but there seems to be something wrong with the way I'm applying that, because I've never gone back to the first chapter of the first chapter. So I try to
if you've been reading the first chapter of the first canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, again and again and again, sounds great to me. And that's exactly what Prabhupada said specifically about nectar devotion. If you don't understand something, read it again. If you don't understand it after reading it again, read it again. If you don't understand, read it again. So there's nothing wrong with the process that you're applying. Second is, read under the guidance of someone that's qualified to instruct Srimad Bhagavatam. So there are different ways to do that without elaborating them just now. But that's one way that will help your assimilating and as well applying the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Reading together or studying under someone who is very qualified. There are different systems for doing that. I mean, take it in a very simple way, and I'm sure you've had this experience from discussion groups, bhakti vriksha groups, for example, where study of Bhagavad Gita is going on. And by discussing in that forum, so many things come out that just reading don't come out. Just by the forum of discussing in the association of other devotees. Bhagavatam is, you can read on your own. It's even, that's very nice. And you, it's even nicer. Or another nice is you read in the company of like-minded persons. Another nice is you hear from a qualified person who's speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. Since we have recorded technology, one can do that. Or a combination. Another recommendation is application. Something that you do understand, apply it. That will help a lot in the realization and then going back with renewed enthusiasm to read again. Realization increases and nurtures faith. And you have increased faith, you go back to the same and read it again and you find things that you didn't see before. And then apply that, something that particularly inspires you. So it's like a relationship with the text itself. Instructing, it's Krishna instructing. Okay? Yeah? Loud.
The Vedic literature is considered as apurusheya.
The Vedic literature is apurusheya. Means not coming from a worldly person.
Transcendental.
Transcendental.
So when we hear that the Puranas, they are, you know, six of them are sattvic. So it is catering to the people that are in that world.
Yes.
Not that they are.
That's right. So his question is, if we say that there are 18 principal Puranas, each corresponding with modes of nature, it doesn't mean that six of them are ignorant. Six of them are passionate, and the other six are good. It means that it's written for those in those modes, and specifically to help those in those modes become elevated. And embedded within them, just like the Skanda Purana is one that's in that of the 18 principal Puranas. It says some things in Skanda Purana that we don't quote because it's not sattvic. But some portions of it point specifically to the transcendental position of Krishna and Krishna Katha. And the benefit of Krishna Katha. So those that are attracted to those Puranas, they're getting embedded within the Purana, the message, which will help them. And Srimad Bhagavatam is unmixed. Okay. So let's have...